So tonight's sermon is based on the second chief part, the Apostles' Creed, which you have just recited. What haven't I told you, or told you at all, or emphasized enough about the second chief part? Last week, it was that creedal Christianity is ancient. This week, that it's consistent. The best illustration I can think of is that creedal Christianity is like spaghetti sauce. It's not homemade. Originally, it was thought it was, in a way. Before Luther divided the Apostles' Creed into three articles, the church had divided it into 12. According to Rufinus, a 4th century church father, a legend from the 3rd century was that the original confession started with the apostles. They had gathered in Jerusalem one last time, on which occasion they formulated the Apostles' Creed. Later still, a phrase was attributed to each one of them. 12 phrases led to baptistries, baptismal fonts, being made with 12 sides to them. Now, even if that were true, the creed wouldn't be homemade, since the apostles spoke directly for God on earth. The kind of homemade I'm saying the creed is not is where each person develops his own personal creed. Google personal credo, i.e. personal creed, or confession of faith, and you'll find, one, you have to have one, two, how to write one, and you'll find examples like, nobody in this world should have to die alone. Every child must feel wanted. Live each day as a gift. The world is a better place for my having lived today. Creedal Christianity is not a personal credo because, like homemade pasta sauce, it can change each time it's made. And surely from generation to generation, it does. It's the opposite of the first reading and the last reading, for that matter. Do not add to what I command you, and do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you. Earlier generations of confessional Lutherans made the mistake of making confessional points out of things that weren't in the Lutheran confessions. Early Missouri Synod was opposed to buying insurance, card playing, dancing, and theater going. When times changed, those supposedly creedal points changed, and so later, when confronted by feminism that was socially accepted, the biblical order of creation was no longer confessed as binding either. It was dismissed in the same way card playing had been. Likewise, when easy divorce, living together, gay marriage, and choosing your gender were accepted by society, many concluded that the church was as wrong about these as she had been about the theater, dancing, and insurance. But probably the most serious blow to creedal Christianity came when, in the 60s onward, Lutheran pastors confirmed kids based on personal statements of their faith that the child wrote and confessed before the congregation. Now that awe moment was more moving and sincere than confessing, "I believe that God has made me, Jesus Christ is my Lord, and the Holy Spirit has called me." Homemade confessions are definitely the soup de jour. The new atheists, they all have them, and they are no deeper than Google's original motto of "don't be evil," or the one their conglomerate adopted in 2015, "do the right thing." Or their personal credo is that of the sexual revolution. Whatever consenting adults wish to do, well, that's what's right. I've attempted to catechize dozens of people who believed everyone should and did have the right to make their own creed. Now, they identify as Catholic, Lutheran, Baptist, but they pick and choose what they want to believe. So they're really Toms and Harrys and Pauls and Paulas. They are a denomination of one, And just like homemade spaghetti sauce, since they change it as they go. And it's all a matter of taste. Credo Christianity is not homemade, but it can be ragu. I couldn't verify this story, but I've been told that ragu, which has been around since 1937, woke up one day to the realization that their pasta sauce tasted terrible. Now, how did that happen? It was that old, too many cooks spoil the soup. Someone in authority thought it would be better if they added this or took that away, and so they did. And so did the next person in charge and the next one after that. Each made incremental changes, only to find in the aggregate, it was awful. The devil, the world, and our fallen nature exert tremendous pressure for us to change our confession to make it more palatable and winsome to the world. You can find many rewrites of the 1800-year-old Apostles' Creed, but the ones that should concern you are not those by the outliers, the wackos, or even those by individuals, but the ones by churches. And these, they go two ways. The first is to change the words. The Wisconsin Synod did this. Rather than confess that Jesus was made man, this confessional Lutheran synod since 1993 has confessed that Jesus became fully human. Now, they aren't seeking to deny that Jesus was a male, but to accommodate feminist thinking, which does not regard man as the generic for human, as the Bible does. This use drives feminists up the wall. So they successfully, the feminists, done away with chairmen, policemen, firemen, and even manhole. Then there are those churches who no longer confess that Jesus descended into hell, but say instead that he descended into the dead. You find that in LCMS churches too now. Originally, the Methodists are the one who left that descent out altogether. But now they too have joined liberal Christianity's confession that he descended into the dead. Now Luther plainly had descended into hell. Some versions of the creed, it is true, in both the Eastern and the Western church lack that phrase. But it's found in both Eastern and Western synods in 359 AD in one and 360 AD in the other. For confessional Lutherans, Article 9 of the Formula of Concord settles the matter. Look it up. Changing ancient terminology, that's a big deal. Do it, and like ragu, you'll end up with something you don't recognize. But there's another way to ragu the creed. Our own personal sins and sinfulness, our mistaken belief that science trumps articles of faith, or at least has to agree with them, and our gnawing doubts. I say I believe in the maker of heaven and earth, but I secretly think Evolver. I say I believe in this Christian church. He daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. But I think he forgives even those outside and apart from the church who believe in a God. But you see, you can't throw out the bathwater of the creed that you believe is dirty according to your opinions or science without throwing out the baby of he defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil. Or the baby of living under him in his kingdom and constantly therefore being regarded in Jesus as righteous, innocent, and blessed. And what about the baby of being not only called, gathered, enlightened, and sanctified, but kept in the true faith? If you wake up each day deciding what you believe or not, one day you'll wake to find you don't know what you believe. So don't hold credo Christianity as ragu, but as prego. Prego didn't come around until 1981. They had a famous commercial in 1984 where a father criticizes his newlywed son for already getting spaghetti sauce from a jar. The dad laundry lists the things that make for a good Italian sauce, and the son repeatedly answers, "It's in there, it's in there." That's what Luther said about the second article of the Apostles' Creed, which for confessional Lutherans is the chief one. He said, all of our festivals are summarized in this short second article. But the church before Luther went even further than that. Quote, the early church thought that every subject of faith and doctrine was summarized in the Apostles' Creed. The first article, said Luther, by the word creator, tells us where we have come from, and by the word father, where we belong and where we are supposed to end up. And don't miss all the providing and protecting we confess our dear Father does for us is without any merit or worthiness in us. Now, if that doesn't make your heart sigh with relief and sing for joy, well, then you're either not listening or you're not believing. All that he does day in and day out, even for all evil people, is only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy. Find in that anything about what you do or don't do? How about what you believe or not? How about anything to do with gnawing doubts or agreement with science? And notice that thanking, praising, serving, and obeying him flows from what he does without any merit or worthiness on your part. That means those who realize they're in the Father's house for their brother Jesus' sake, having all the Father's gifts, grace, and protection, they live differently than a fatherless, homeless, brotherless street urchin. The second article is where confessional Lutherans do their theology from, to, and in. Here we're confronted with our fall and what it took for God the Son to buy us back from sin, death, and the devil. In my day, the immensity of this fall was brought home to me because I was taught to say, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature. Now, since 1986, we don't say that. We say person. Now, that was not intended to make the fall less serious, but it did for me. At age 13, confessing I was a lost and condemned creature conveyed my lostness and damnedness as little else could. That's because the 1954 Creature from the Black Lagoon was on TV then. And if anything was irredeemable and damnable, that creature was. And now we're to the third article, where most of you are busy making ragu or even homemade sauce. But here, above all else, it should be prego. Not creation, not redemption, but sanctification. That's what troubles so many of you. You get why God must get 100% of the credit and glory for the first two articles. But then you come to the third article and you freak. You freak daily at times, occasionally at other times, and in the dark night of your soul, you freak all the time. Luther would allay our fears and drive away our freakouts. In our large catechism, Luther uses present tense only when describing the work of the Spirit. It's, I believe upon the Father who has created me, and I believe upon the Son who has redeemed me. But it's, I believe upon the Holy Spirit who makes me holy. Game, set, match. We start out confessing the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, which is the gospel, which is that Jesus redeemed me with his innocent life and his guilty death. And the Spirit, we confess, has not only called, not only enlightened, not only sanctified, but kept me in that true faith. All that, that's in the past. Then we come to the Holy Christian Church. In this Christian Church, he daily and richly is doing these things for me and all believers in Christ. The Creed and our explanations consistently confess the truth about where you're coming from, where you're going to, and how you're going to get there. Luther likens the faith in you that believes these things to a candle that the wind of doubt or worry can flicker or even blow out. While the faith expressed in Credo Christianity is like the sun shining from above, It cannot be disturbed by no power of the winds, either in its rays or in itself. Creedal Christianity is like prego. All that's necessary for faith and life is consistently and completely in there. Amen.